Okay, and welcome back. It's hour three, and it's Thursday, almost Friday already, as we move into the month of October. With us this hour is a very interesting person. She was on the program a number of times years ago. She is what is commonly referred to as a channeler. I don't do many programs and haven't for many years on channeling. It is a very, it's one of those fields that is easily hoaxed by people. And then again, you have others who apparently have genuine gifts. And the guest we have on this hour is one of those who is revered around the world as being quite legitimate in this field, which again is a rather murky field. It is a field that is, for some, absolutely fascinating, for others, a joke. But I think in all cases, any honest individual would have to say that it is a certainly an interesting field. You can't listen to it and just walk away without kind of at least scratching your head, if not coming away with a wish of wanting to do more research into it. Her name is Nancy Leader. That's L-E-I-D-E-R. And the website, of course, is Zeta Talk. And many of you already know about this this work that has been around for quite some time. Nancy, are you there?
I am.
Welcome back.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. And I'm so glad you jumped into that business about legitimate or not legitimate. I actually put together a couple of pages, talking points, on my website, ZetaTalk.com, right next to the Google search engine strip to the left of it. You can take those links. One of them talks about Zeta Talk accuracy. Now, since the start of Zeta Talk in 1995, the Zetas have kind of suggested to me that I actually crow about their accuracy on predictions or their knowledge about scientific precepts that mankind isn't even aware of. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to like take a minute out to give a sentence to each. I have like a
sure.
maybe half a dozen examples here.
Go ahead.
One is that the Zetas from the start of Zeta Talk in 1995 have said that the sun, the earth, Mercury, etc. are pointing in the same direction magnetically. It is not true that the sun flips its magnetic field every 11 years, which NASA still asserts.
Well, NASA asserts a lot of things that are
yeah.
not right. Like there's no life on Mars, and we've seen their airbrushed and photoshopped pictures too often to take them deadly seriously about most anything. Go ahead.
And they can't admit a mistake. So their own Ulysses probe zipped by the sun, you know, North Pole and South Pole and North Pole and South Pole. The first time it went through, it said, okay, North is up and South is down. The second time it went by, they expected it to say, South is up, North is down, and it told them the opposite. It told them that there had been no flip, even though in the year 2000 they announced that. And I consider this a big Zeta Talk success. Then, you know, the Zetas have warned about the incoming Nibiru, Planet X. They said it would come in 2003. They were right about that. They also said it would pass in 2003, which it did not. It's still coming outbound toward us. But they gave the coordinates way back in 1995 of where it would arrive in 2003 in the evening sky just to the right of Orion, and it did almost exactly where they predicted 7 years earlier. I don't think NASA has that kind of prediction on comet.
Well, has NASA admitted to a Nibiru or Planet X being where the Zetas said it would?
No, the Zeta Talk is the only one saying this, and that's the next thing I want to get to after I kind of clip through some of these examples. It's showing up on SOHO and the stereo images. It's causing the magnetosphere to twist, and this is absolutely undeniable that there's something in the inner solar system that is doing that. It's a planet that is so shrouded by red dust that you can't. You know, Venus is Earth size, and we call
right.
it a star because it's bright and it reflects sunlight. Planet X can only reflect sunlight when there's a right angle for the dust cloud that it's shrouded in, and then it appears as a second sun rising and setting. Mm. And many people have saw that in 2003 when the angle was right. They see it today, and get pictures and photos increasingly because it's coming closer and closer to us all the time. Outbound.
How much closer is it going to get?
Well, it's currently not quite halfway or about halfway between the sun and the earth. and a little bit to the right as we from the northern hemisphere look out. And what's going to happen during the last weeks, the twisting and turning is fantastic that goes on, because Earth is the small magnet and this is the larger magnet, and Earth is like trying to accommodate Planet X. It's doing that now. It has a wobble where, you know.
Well, I would assume that all the planets in the solar system, certainly our solar system, have to be impacted by it somehow.
Well, this is true, but Earth is more so because it's magnetic, and this is a big bully magnet. It's
how much bigger?
It's 4 times our diameter and 23 times our mass. If you click on that Planet X talking points, you'll see that I have detailed some examples of how it's influencing us magnetically. The magnetosphere, which is a simulator we have from Japan, and it takes it's a satellite that floats out there and reads all this stuff. There's a bow shock coming from the sun, and then magnetic field streams outward. Well, in 2009, it began twisting horribly in which the South Pole.
I'm looking at the picture right now.
Yeah, it's all twisted up in knots and going in the wrong direction. When those things happened, there was no solar wind. The sun was just without sunspots and no solar wind.
Right, it was basically in neutral. If it were an automobile, it was doing nothing.
That's right, but yet this was going on. It shows a magnetic presence, and then in 2008, NASA came out and said, oh, there's a hole in the bow shock. And they described it as 4 times the size of Earth. Well, that's the size of Planet X, according to the Zetas.
Interesting.
So no, they do not admit. And deforming, that hole is now deforming on occasion. So this has to be a magnetic influence there.
Well, then something's doing it, obviously, yeah.
Right, yep. And then it's showing up on LASCO, the red and the blue and the SOHO, etc. What was so astonishing is that March of 2009, it showed up on SOHO as a perfect winged globe. And I have on that Talking Points page example from the ancient, I think, Sumerians, or anyway, this is ancient. I always thought that was like kind of an analogy, kind of just a pictorial representation of
some
planet.
A metaphor of something, yeah.
Yeah, it has a sling orbit. It doesn't go round and around. It slings through and then comes back 3,600 years and slings through again.
It's a very wide and outbound, it goes way out there, allegedly, and comes back in. Elliptical.
Yes.
This is on the left-hand side of the ZetaTalk.com page. Look for Planet X under Rents 107. Show, and you can see some of the images that Nancy has collated and put up there for everyone to study and look at. Okay, go ahead. I've got a few questions I want to ask you, which we can loop back to as soon as you're done going through what you'd like to go through.
Sure, and this is showing up almost daily on SOHO. You know, there's a message
in the same location.
Well, because it has so many moon swirls, they move around, and because they are swirling around between the sun and the Earth, and the SOHO satellite is just outside of Earth's orbit, you know, just outside of Earth, floating there. So, but stereo ahead and behind satellites are a little ahead in the orbit, a little behind in the orbit, and they catch a side view, and so we know it's there. We've depicted it also blooming of planets like Venus or Mercury, where there seem to be double planets.
Right.
Showing up. This blooming is an astrophysics term meaning pulling light toward a gravity source, and it sometimes makes a gravity source look brighter than it should be. And so we're getting blooming planets, and this points to its presence also. Just another quick mention, for those wondering and saying, oh, you know, there must be an explanation, check the moon's orbit. Since 2003 when it came in, the moon, which normally has like a hat on the head, a slight tilt, a little deeper over one ear, a little higher over the other.
Uh-huh.
It's very much tilted. And the only time it's where you'd expect it to be is in the new moon or the full moon, and in between, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, way too far north, way too far south. You know, it's moving like from the northeast to the southeast when it's only supposed to be moving perhaps, you know, 7 degrees.
Can you
prove this yourself. You can measure this, take note, and see where it's supposed to be as far as the 360 round is your street pointing east, blah, blah.
Got it.
Do that and ask yourself why the media and the establishment are not allowing this to be discussed when it is so astonishing.
We have on this planet, we have to take a break here, but we have tens of thousands of very competent amateur astronomers. And then we have professionals, of course. And I want to ask you when you come back to give us the Zeta's explanation as to why they can't image, see, or otherwise detect Planet X easier than they apparently could if they knew how to do it. And we get into all that in just a minute, because that's one of the big questions. Well, if it's out there, are all these people blind, et cetera? Okay.
Oh, no, I got a good answer.
Talking with, I know you do, talking with Nancy Leader of ZetaTalk.com, certainly one of the world's most well-known individuals who practices the very unusual art, as it were, of channeling. Channeling messages from Zeta Reticuli, the Zetans. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Nancy Leader of Zeta Talk, one of the most unusual websites, and if you want to do something eclectic, this is one of your destinations. Now, Nancy, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
As far as being eclectic, or I was going to answer why amateurs don't record it.
Yeah, that was the question, but I mean, just as far as the site being unusual and all of that, is it, because I like to do the personal aspect of it. Oh. This has to be fun for you. It's got to be challenging, interesting, but above all, you've got to have a passion for what you do in life, and you certainly do have a passion for this.
Yeah, it is fun, because I've been sort of battling to get the truth out there all these years, and we keep winning, so to speak. Now, you know, there's a lot of suppression. Planet X is not allowed to be in the media. You'll notice movies are about, the sun is going to explode or something like that. They never talk about a big plastic passing planet like the Nibiru. It seems to be a verboten subject in Hollywood. And there's just a certain 2012 was espoused because at the time it was way out there and they thought too far out that people wouldn't get alarmed.
Uh-huh.
And the Zetas are saying, you can't line up the Gregorian and the Mayan. And they're not allowed to give the date, but they're saying, don't trust that December 21st, 2012 stuff. But anybody with 2012 on a title of a book was on the media, you know. So,
well, just wait till next year. After the first of the year, the drumbeat is going to become deafening.
That's right. And NASA's saying, oh, it's the sun. The sun is about to go nova or something, you know, blow up. And it's not. It's sleepy. So it's been frustrating. But the fact that the Zeta Talk is so popular around the world, and it's a popularity I didn't ask for. It just came. You know, it's been a very successful medium, Zeta
Okay.
Talk.
All right. Back to the astronomers. Why? You mentioned red dusk, or dust.
Yes.
Dust, this doesn't matter. It's red, and it makes it so the planet is not, apparently, in a visual sense, easily detectable. What's the deal?
Unless sunlight bounces off of it at a certain angle, because most sunlight hits that, because it's sort of positioned almost between us, it bounces directly back to the. We see it as a dim fuzzball. That's in the main, you know. So people don't say, "Oh, there's Venus," you know, the morning star or the evening star or whatever. We don't see Venus during the day.
We see it, Nancy? Excuse me, as a dim fuzzball looking straight at the sun with the proper equipment.
Yes.
And a filtering system, obviously.
Absolutely. There's a lot of photos. I would suggest that people go into my newsletter. That's a link on the menu bar.
Uh-huh.
And see Planet X photos. Every now and then I put them out there.
All right,
very good. And some of the recent ones. Now, you mentioned about astronomy. You know, the amateurs did. In 2001, we had teams in Canada, the U.S., and France that went to observatories and looked at the coordinates, and even the observatory astronomers said, oh, there's something, there's a lighted area there. And then a year later, we went, got infrared imaging in France by a student, and a woman got it down in Africa, and it showed up at the coordinates, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the following year, which was the fall of 2002 to 2003, when it was coming close, a group of amateurs did CCD images, took FITS files. These are still available. If you take the Planet X photos on the left-hand side on my menu bar, you can pull those FITS files in. FITS files cannot be doctored. And read them in a FITS file reader, you will see, according to the Zeta coordinates, it was moving. And then 2 weeks later, it wasn't where it was before, but now it's in the new place. It absolutely tracked to the trajectory that the Zetas had given and were giving. And these are all amateurs. Likewise, most of these photos that are on that website when it became available in 2003, et cetera, are from amateurs. Now, what happens to them? If they go and try to go to astronomers, they get ridiculed. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to focus a scope. You don't know what you're looking at. And we actually, somebody challenged us and said, oh, you know, if you think you found a new object, go to JPL, you know, the minor planet, blah, blah, and record this so you can have this in your name. So we did. We went and followed all the instructions, and they refused to take the photo. They kept complaining it's not in the right format, and we provided it in the right format. They still, they just weren't going to accept anything that proved the presence of Planet X. Stonewall.
Right.
And ridicule, and that's what happens.
Okay, where is the planet's elliptical orbit supposed to take it as its closest approach to our planet? Where will it end up, or where is it supposed to sweep in such a way that it could cause some serious problems here on the
it
Earth?
It flies over our head, and it is.
And what does that mean, Nancy? You talk about comets
yes.
out there, and they're 10 million miles away. I mean,
right.
How close?
It's 14 million miles from us, and this
that's
is,
its closest approach.
Yes, and its moon swirls is only 5 billion miles from Planet X, so we don't get the moons hitting us, but a lot of debris, and that's why a passage is a lot of hail, a lot of red dust, and of course it's a crustal shift. It shoves our North Pole away in such a way that the crust rips from the core, and we end up with the poles along the equator. And people, you can go into the pole shift section and check the new geography and see a map that shows this. For those new to this subject who are alarmed at the Zeta Talk accuracy, please do check safe locations, etc. Huge amount of help. You do not have to, lose anything except your obligation to the credit card companies and things like that. You know, survival is quite possible. And life in the aftertime is going to be exciting because you're going to meet a lot of different alien types. We'll become galactic citizens. Tell the kids school's going to be out. Everybody's going to have more work gardening, and they'll lose that fat, and they'll lose that heart disease.
Well, I'm sure you got a lot of people listening, and they'll vote for that. Hang on a second, and we'll take our break at the bottom here and come back with Nancy. And Planet X continues to be a very controversial topic, but there's a lot on Zeta Talk that would tend to shed light on its reality. Decide for yourself. And we will continue in just a few minutes. Okay, we're back with Nancy Leader, Zeta Talk. ZetaTalk.com, that's Z-E-T-A. The folks who live up in the Zeta Reticuli portion of our universe, our galaxy. All right, Nancy, I want to go back now. When you were living kind of a normal life until the mid-90s when this all began, what were you doing and how did you get involved with this? How were you selected to be the conduit through which whatever consciousness is up there and decided to speak?
Yes. Well, actually, all my life as a child, I was a contactee. It's a common misunderstanding that people are chosen by the aliens. It's the opposite. People choose their role. They want to do their role. They may or may not be supported in this role by aliens. The Zetas have said that 19 out of 20 contactees were the visitors, and they're just come in all sizes and shapes and life forms. You know, they could be monkey shapes or greasy toads or jellyfish. Decide to back that contactee and help them. 19 out of 20 times, it fails. And I was apparently a kind of a surprise. So they had to muster more Zetas behind me to support Zeta Talk and get it out there and try to run interference. I think during the Bush administration in particular, they probably wanted me eliminated, and that didn't happen. That's an example of interference. So
how do they communicate with you? How are you able to access their information?
When I was in my late 20s, they opened my head or infused or teleported in or something, a little bit of their DNA into that part of my brain that deals with telepathy. So I'm not actually channeling. Channeling is where your soul leaves and lets somebody else come in and use your body. I'm like a translator. You know, I'm a participant like a translator. And at that time, I was unaware I was a contactee, but I was aware that I suddenly became a lot more telepathic with humans. I said, oh, my gosh, I know who's calling before the phone rings, et cetera, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I played games with it. You know, I would ask strangers what they were thinking. I said, don't tell me. Let me just guess. And I was right about 55% of the time. So I thought, well, why am I suddenly more telepathic? So then I wrap English around a concept. It's not that I hear a voice in my head. I have an idea pop in my head like daydreaming, you know, but it's a conversational feeling to it. And I wrap English around it, and the things that come out could not possibly be coming from Nancy. You know, an example is the gravity pull on Planet X, which they said was about 1.5 times, you know, that of Earth, that the Anunnaki were 1.5 times the size of man, right? Because of the gravity pull. Somebody said, wait, you said it was 23 times the mass. They would have to be 23 times larger than man. I thought, oh, an error, my gosh. And then it turns out that there's a human mass for computing gravity on the surface.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? For 23 times the size of Earth, it's 1.6 gravity pull.
Right,
and
there.
This is
yeah.
an example of where I have just learned to trust.
Mm-hmm.
I put out what they tell me to put out, and I don't worry about it.
All right. Well, you've certainly impressed a lot of people with their knowledge, and I guess it's how much of it is subjective, though, Nancy? You did describe that. You get a flash of information,
yeah.
but
yeah.
you do have to interpret that, and you do have to present it to people, and,
right.
and that is a subjective process.
Yes, it is. And then there's a feedback. The Zetas have described, I put English around it, and yes, a translator can interfere.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. If I feel strongly about a subject, you know, people keep pointing out that the Zetas seem to lean toward the Democrats rather than the Republicans.
Do they really care? I mean, come on. Do they take our politics seriously?
Only from the standpoint that the Bush administration didn't have nice plans in place.
And this, you know, one does?
Well, it's more human, yes. And the Bush administration went into Iraq, wanted to really just dominate on a false premise and wanted to dominate Iran, Saudi oil fields, because they thought the pole shift was coming in 2003. That's why they rushed in. And in fact, the military had an Operation Planet X on May 15th, 2003, you know, which was a date constantly cited by the Zetas, who did that and said it was going to pass when it only came in order to get the Bush administration to fall on their sword. They were planning on bad vaccines, on poison chemtrails, martial law. All of this got thwarted by a lot of operation teamwork between benign aliens, the visitors, and humans working in teamwork.
Are the Zetas here?
Yes, physically they're here. They can't go back. Their planets are a heavier gravity draw. And then, you know, if we send people up in space for long, long periods, their bones thin, and when they come back to Earth,
right.
they could actually die
right.
if they're up there long enough. So this is a problem. They cannot go back. But they're here creating a Zeta-human hybrid in addition. Mankind's next leap forward. We're going to have skinny bodies, live 400 years, very high IQ, huge eyes, but they won't be black. Many people who have said, oh, I was on a ship and they put a baby in my arms and I knew it was mine, and then they took it away again.
Were these the Zetas doing those particular hybrid fetal removals?
Yes. And I participated in that primarily when I was like from the age of 10 to 19, when I got married and started having my own children. So
you participated, and it makes it sound like you did it voluntarily.
Absolutely.
You did.
All participants are volunteers. Absolutely.
Well, I've talked to women who have been pretty shook up by this. They turn up pregnant. Their boyfriends are not happy about it because it's not the boyfriend. And there are obviously severe stresses on people. And then all of a sudden, at 4 or 5 months, the fetus is gone.
Yeah,
and the doctor said, well, you aborted.
Yeah.
And the woman said, no, I didn't.
Right.
and it creates incredible stress on people.
Yeah.
And
usually, depending on the situation, they take the ova, but they don't. And I had up to 2 months once when I knew I was pregnant, and I was a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I was going to go to the doctor, and poof, my tummy went flat.
Yeah.
So, that does happen, but they absolutely are volunteers. The Zetas point out that even being a contactee, which is always initiated by the human, it's like going to the dentist. You want to go, you know you have to go, you know, but you have mixed feelings.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so you do readings for people. Is that a good way to phrase it? Still, I mean, you if someone has a question, you'll try to find out what may come in from the Zetas or Zeta Talk, however you want to phrase it.
Initially, when it started in 1995, we even did personal questions.
Yeah.
Within a year, I found that was impossible to maintain because personal questions are for that person alone, and we're trying to serve the world.
Right.
So we said no. Then in 2002, they started saying, the Zetas, look, just because somebody says, oh, the board say blah, blah, or mm-hmm. I read this website and it said, we're not going to respond to that because most of that stuff out there is garbage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we said the rule, unless these other sources can predict, like the author or channel or whoever can predict with our accuracy, we're not going to respond. Well, they're like web bots got a response because they have an accuracy track record, for instance, you know. But very few, in order to keep from responding constantly to other people's garbage. I've recently come to the point where I'm trying to restrict it. It's in the website. There is a search engine.
Understand.
And actually, there is a message board that is very helpful, where many Zeta Talk savvy people will help you find what you're looking for.
Very good. All right, stand by, Nancy, if you will. We have to pause. We'll come right back. Okay, welcome back. Our final segment already. ZetaTalk.com is the website. Nancy Leader is our guest. And I'd like to ask one question. Something appeared on my kitchen sink counter, the windowsill to be specific, the other day. And by the way, I should mention, the brilliant artwork of David Dees on the homepage at Rents.com depicts the after times and what the hybrids and humans will be looking like when they're working together to try to rebuild this planet in a new and far more humane paradigm. Congratulations to David again for capturing something very unusual in his work. All right, so what did the Zetas suggest? This looks like a domino, a ceramic magnet, kind of like a shape of a domino. What's with that?
And it disappeared on the windowsill.
No, it appeared there. It wasn't there, and then it was. I never saw it before.
And now you have this domino.
Yeah.
About that size. Does it look like a domino?
No, it looks like a ceramic magnet. You can buy them at the hardware store. It's got a very weak magnetic field to it, and it just popped up there. And if you want to ask them at some point,
here we go. This is the Zetas. Jeff is very comfortable with being a contactee, although he's only partially, you know, admitting his status this way. And so therefore, this is not anticipated to shock him. A weak magnetic field, but this little device, if kept close to his heart, will assist his health. And this is a very complex description. The weak magnetic field is something he can detect, but there is many emanations that he cannot. This is the size that can be put in a shirt pocket, and it will help his hardening of the arteries and the like on important areas. It's the type of thing we implant if we have to. Into people, but he has a broad area that needs attention. So this is just a medical assist, and we suspect that he subconsciously is aware of this, but just wanted some confirmation. End of Zeta Talk.
Well, it's an issue that I'm very familiar with, magnetic field therapy. I do use a very powerful magnet sleep pad under my mattress from magneticosleep.com, Dr. Bonley, so Yeah, I'm aware of magnets and the positive impact they can have on health. So, well, that's it's a good, magnets are good things.
And I think this is more than a magnet. This is only the thing that you can detect, but it has like, dozens of other things
may have,
happening.
Yeah, well, it's an unusual thing. I'm not sure how it got there, but it's there. And thank you.
You bet.
Okay, now, the other thing, Hale-Bopp, the comet, was 122 million miles or thereabout from Earth.
Yeah.
How close will Planet X come? You said 10 to 12 million miles, I think, at its closest?
It's 14 million miles from Earth, but not to fear that its big moons will wallop us, because they can't. They're kept closer to Planet X,
mm-hmm.
within 5 million miles of Planet X. So we have that 9 million mile, where just a lot of debris and stones, like we're having a lot of fireballs come through, you know, a lot more than we should be having, where they scream across several, you know, Canadian provinces.
These are precursors of Hale-Bopp's closest approach. When will this happen?
They can't give us
not Hale-Bopp,
Planet X.
Yeah.
They can't give us the date, but they have given us explicit information, like the last weeks, which run for about 2 month period. Explicit descriptions. They've also said something big is going to happen by the end of this year, called the 7 of 10. You can put that into the search engine, get all kinds of information, in which Indonesia may find itself sinking, South America may roll, something huge. Not the New Madrid yet, I don't think, this year, but they've described the sequence of events. But they cannot give you, they're not allowed to. Nobody is. No valid visitors, or prophets are allowed to give the date. And the Bible said none shall know, Jesus said none shall know the date of my return. And that's what it's referring to. This is because this is our spiritual schoolhouse. We are supposed to be able to rise to opportunities. And if, also because if the date is known, the bad guys will take advantage of the common man.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
They'll spin anything into their orbit of influence and subjugation, which is what they've done with 2012.
That's right.
Exactly. Now, the Zetas do not think that the Mayan calendar is indicative of anything particularly catastrophic happening in year 2012.
They agree that the Mayans were saying this is the end of a cycle, 3,600-year cycle.
But that cycle means what?
It means another passage of Nibiru. Now, the last one was the Jewish Exodus, you know, when we had a lot of red dust, and there was actually, Potsdam University in Germany has computed that we have like a shift, you know, and the Sahara is further to the south than it was before that time period, and Greenland has so much ice because it's our former North Pole. So there was a crustal shift at the time of the Jewish Exodus. The flood is another example. So the Mayans got this information from the Anunnaki, but then they got it. They scrambled it. You know, they lost track of time. They didn't keep their calendar precisely, and therefore you cannot say. And you know, if you actually go into how they got 2012 December 21st, they used in one instance carbon dating, which has a 3 to 5 year error, you know, range. They did not match it up. They cannot match it up. And the Zetas are just saying, we can't tell you the date, but don't trust that stuff about December 21st, 2012. You know, it's not accurate.
Well, unfortunately, there is going to be an awful lot of money made by a lot of people hustling.
Yep.
2012. That's
yep.
just a fact of life. Not this audience. They're not going to buy into that. We'll see what happens. And the door is always open, of course, for the controllers, the manipulators amongst us on this planet, our powers that be, as they are called, to do
right.
almost anything they want. They have the technology. They've had blue beam technology for 20 years at least, if not more. They can do all kinds of things to panic and subjugate and otherwise dominate the human psyche. And they're doing it already with the mass media. But a big political and or military astronomically induced event could send the planet certainly into, well, if not mass chaos, certainly mass anxiety.
Yes. Yes, this is true. The Zetas have good news. They say that these people, the continuity of government, etc., they're going to be in a mess. They'll turn on each other. They eliminate each other because they're all power mad. And actually, contactees are, it's where the visitors go directly to the little man, you know, and it's a building and numbers, etc., from the bottom up. And the government cannot stop this, cannot stop you from, you know, reaching out and asking to be a contactee.
Right.
So in the future, these power mad groups will kill each other off, and then you have the broken link where their machinery doesn't work well because of a missing part, or and a lot of
or a computer virus.
Yeah.
Now there, we just have a couple minutes, but I'm going to get email from people. You mentioned earlier that my life has been a little more interesting than the average life in some respects. Let me just put it that way. I don't go there. I don't talk about it. And I can't prove it. But strange things have happened to me. And I'm not sure what the Zetas have said about that. But people will be emailing me and ask, is it true? Is it true? I don't go there. I don't spend a lot of time there. But I'm doing like you and like all good people what we think we're supposed to be doing. And what we, I guess, know we're supposed to be doing. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent approach. Until I was 55, I didn't even know I was a contactee. And some people function better not knowing, actually, you know. And you know in your heart, in your gut, you do know. And that's what counts.
Okay, what about, we have 2 minutes, what about the rest of this year and moving into 2011. We're in a depression. What have the Zetas said about the economy of the world as it has been corrupted? Certainly the greatest theft in recorded history that we know about.
Right.
What's coming?
Well, money, you know, is going to be worthless. And after the pole shift, you're going to be living like the Amish and on your way to becoming very high-tech as you encounter aliens, you know, who are high-tech and coming up to shake your hand or tentacle the hand or whatever that might be. They've said that by the end of 2010, we're going to have something big is going to, and I'm suspecting it's the Indonesia change that they've described, or South America might roll and push down some Caribbean islands. You know, the New Madrid might rip, and they're saying when that happens, there's going to be a huge tsunami running toward Europe. And this is all on the website to read up on. One or more of these scenarios that I've just described is going to happen by the end of 2010, they've said. Then we're going to have more plate movement, bigger earthquakes and the like. And people will begin to say, all right, it's not global warming, etc., and to start researching the Internet or listening to the prophets of every country has them talking about the end times of the change, you know. And that's what's coming.
Well, very interesting. Nancy, thank you. It's good to talk to you again, and I'm glad you're still doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Take good care.
Yeah.
All right. Nancy Leader of the worldwide known Zeta Talk website. So you might want to take a look at that and consider. So what we try and do here is present a wide spectrum of material for you because it is quite a fascinating world we live in. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night in 21 hours. Hope you have a great day tomorrow. It's kind of up to you. Make it a great day. We'll talk tomorrow. And in the meantime, we'll be with you, of course, at rents.com. Take care.